Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 99. In this episode, I'll discuss a new guideline on acute kidney injury in ICU patients, answer the drug information question, what do you think about IV push, antibiotics, and sepsis, and share a resource for creating workflow diagrams. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode99. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. Thank you to everyone who took the poll to help title my upcoming book. The responses were overwhelmingly in favor of A Pharmacist's Guide to Inpatient Medical Emergencies, How to Respond to Code Blue and Rapid Response Calls. The article I'd like to share for this episode is a guideline. It's titled Acute Kidney Injury in the Perioperative Period and in Intensive Care Units. And the lead author is Carol Ichai. This was published April 2016 in Anesthesia, Critical Care, and Pain Medicine. French Critical Care and Nephrology Societies have published recommendations for acute kidney injury in the perioperative period and intensive care units. These guidelines use the grade method to rate the strength of the recommendations. I've selected some of the recommendations that involve medications for discussion in this episode. The first set is how to establish the diagnosis of acute kidney injury and its severity. The authors recommend using the KDIGO criteria to define acute kidney injury, and that's based on the presence of at least one of the following three diagnostic criteria. That's an increase in serum creatinine greater than or equal to 0.3 milligrams per deciliter within 48 hours, an increase in serum creatinine greater than or equal to 1.5 times baseline, or urine output less than 0.5 mL per kilo per hour for 6 hours. This recommendation was based on expert opinion. To estimate GFR, the guideline authors do not recommend the use of formulas, that is, Cockroft-Gall, MDRD, or the CKD-EPI formula, in critically ill patients or in the postoperative period. This is a grade 1 recommendation. Instead, they offer a grade 2 recommendation. To estimate GFR, they suggest a calculation of creatinine clearance using the measured creatinine clearance with the UV over P creatinine formula. Now, in this formula, U is the urinary creatinine concentration, V is the urinary volume expressed in mLs per unit of time, and P is the serum creatinine concentration. And this technique requires the collection of at least 1 hour's worth of urine. It's also known as a flash creatinine clearance. The guideline authors summarized the major nephrotoxic agents that are most frequently used in ICUs and in the perioperative period. Now, this list is composed of radiocontrast agents, aminoglycosides, amphotericin, NSAIDs, beta-lactams, as far as they cause interstitial nephropathies, sulfonamides, acyclovir, methotrexate, cisplatin, cyclosporin, tacrolimus, and ACE inhibitors. I was curious why the authors omitted vancomycin, since in the U.S. it would seem vancomycin would have a place on this list. So I did what I always do when I have a question about a published article. I emailed the corresponding author. I got a prompt response to my question from the lead author, Dr. Carol Ichai, and she said that you're right, vancomycin was not on our list. There's two reasons for that. The first is if you look at the literature, there's no real data on the nephrotoxic effects of vancomycin. The second is that vancomycin is in Europe at this time not commonly used and has been replaced by other antibiotics such as linezolid. Moreover, nephrotoxic effects of vancomycin are really limited if you use it following some rules such as continuous administration and monitoring of plasma levels. Now, the authors also included some non-specific strategies to prevent acute kidney injury. And as a grade one recommendation, they recommend maintaining a minimum level of mean arterial pressure between 60 and 70 millimeters of mercury to prevent and treat acute kidney injury. And they suggest as a grade two recommendation, considering that patients with chronic arterial hypertension require a MAP target greater than 70 millimeters of mercury. Now, they also use norepinephrine as their first-line treatment for maintaining MAP goals if a vasopressor is required. This is a grade 2 recommendation. If you look at the guidelines, this is only based on observational data, but they do list about 6 or 7 studies that they base this recommendation on. They suggest not delaying any additional exams or potentially nephrotoxic agent administration if they're needed to manage the patient. And this recommendation is just an expert opinion as far as the strength of the evidence. Now, for managing nephrotoxic agents, the guidelines provided suggestions for contrast-induced nephropathy, aminoglycosides, and NSAIDs. And so those recommendations are, they suggest optimizing hydration using crystalloids to prevent contrast-induced nephropathy, ideally before the contrast media infusion, and they continue this therapy for 6 to 12 hours after the infusion. This is a grade 2 recommendation. They suggest not using N-acetylcysteine or sodium bicarbonate to prevent contrast-induced nephropathy. This is also a grade 2 recommendation. Now, for aminoglycosides, they suggest administering them when necessary with respect to the following 3 rules. Number 1, administer them with a single dosing per day. Number 2, monitor the residual level in case of more than a single infusion being given. And number 3, administer them for a maximum of 3 days whenever possible. And this is a grade 2 recommendation. They also suggest not using NSAIDs, ACE inhibitors, or ARBs in patients at risk of acute kidney injury. This is based on expert opinion. For pharmacological strategies for the preventative and curative treatment of acute kidney injury, they recommend not using diuretics in order to prevent or treat acute kidney injury. They suggest using them only for treating fluid overload. This is a grade 1 recommendation. Loop diuretics will not jumpstart your kidneys if you are in acute kidney injury. They suggest not using sodium bicarbonate to prevent or treat acute kidney injury as a grade 2 recommendation. And they recommend not using the following treatments to prevent or treat acute kidney injury: mannitol, dopamine, phenaldepam, atrial natriuretic factor, N-acetylcysteine, insulin-like growth factor 1, erythropoietin, and adenosine receptor antagonist. And this is a grade 1 recommendation not to use any of those agents. The full text of the guidelines is available for free, and I have it linked in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode99. Now, I'd like to shout out Nurse Shannon, who contacted me on LinkedIn with the following drug information question, and that was, what do you think about IV push, antibiotics, and sepsis? My answer is, I like the idea, although only beta-lactams seem to have safety data to support this. There's no sense reinventing the wheel. Adam Spaulding, a PharmD published at the website Academic Life and Emergency Medicine, an excellent post on using IV push, beta-lactam, antibiotics, and sepsis. And I have this post linked up in the show notes. It seems most beta-lactam antibiotics can be given IV push over a few minutes, and this is including cefepime and meropenem. Getting everyone educated and on board with the idea of IV push antibiotics should be done before they're ordered for the first time, if this is the route you'd like to go. And the resource for this episode is the website Draw.io. This website is a free online diagram software for making flowcharts, process diagrams, organization charts, network diagrams, and more. It links up with Dropbox or Google Drive. I used it to create a critical care rotation workflow diagram for my new PGY1 residents. I'll be including this workflow diagram in the next episode, 100. Listeners can support the show when they shop using my link to Amazon. It will cost you no extra money, and I will receive a small commission from Amazon. Just bookmark and use my link, pharmacyjoe.com/shop, to take you to Amazon each time you shop. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.